starting the first verse. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel and spoke kindly to the damsel. And Shechem spoke unto the father Hamor, his father Hamor, saying, get me this damsel to wife. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Jacob to commune with him. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it. And the men were grieved, and they were very wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. And Hamor communed with them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem longs for your daughter. I pray you give her him to wife, and make ye marriage with us, and give your daughters to us, and take our daughters to you. And you shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade ye therein, and get ye possessions therein. And Shechem said to her father and to her brethren, let me find grace in your eyes, and what you shall say to me I will give. Ask me never so much dowry and gift, and I will give according as you shall say to me. But give me the damsel to wife. And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor his father deceitfully, and said, because he had defiled Dinah their sister. And they said to them, we can not do this thing to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that were a reproach to us. But in this we will consent to you, if you will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised. Then will we give our daughters to you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. But if you will not hearken to us to be circumcised, then will we take our daughter, and be gone. And their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. And the young man deferred not to do the thing, because he had delight in Jacob's daughter. And he was more honorable than all the house of his father. And Hamor and Shechem, his son, came into the gate of the city and communed with the men of their city, saying, these men are peaceable with us, therefore let them dwell in the land and trade therein. For the land, behold, it is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only herein will the men consent to us for to dwell with us, to be one people. If every male among us be circumcised as they are circumcised, shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us. And to Hamor and Shechem his son hearkened all that went out to the gate of the city, and every male was circumcised, all that went out of the gate of the city. And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. And the men and the sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city, because they had defiled their sister. They took their sheep and their oxen, their asses, and that which was in the city and that which was in the field, and all their wealth and all their little ones and their wives took they captive, and spoiled all even that was in the house. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, you have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. And they said, should he deal with our sister as with a harlot? Boy, there's a lot of good stuff in here. Let's go back and see what we can get out of here this morning. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. Dinah is who? Judgment, justice. The daughter of Leah, the weary one, which she bare to Jacob, Jacob being the natural man. The natural man produces what? Natural things. And she went out to see the daughters of the land. She was trying to hook up with someone else in the natural. She wasn't trying to go look at the land, I don't believe. I think she was trying to find her a man. That's my opinion. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, and Shechem being the responsibility, right? Hamor being the he ass, the Heavite, the aboriginal tribe representing violence. Prince of the country saw her. He took her and lay with her and defiled her. Now, when Shechem took her, do you think he took her by violence, by force? I really don't believe that. I don't believe it. Because it said his soul clave to her, or adhered to Dinah, the daughter, and he loved the damsel. The damsel not being a grown woman, but this word for damsel here speaks of a girl up to adolescence. I mean, she's just coming, beginning to be a woman. Just beginning, up to adolescence. It was very common in that day for men to take wives that young. And he spoke kindly unto the young girl. And the word kindly here is the word heart. It's the Hebrew word lab, okay? And it says he spoke to the heart of the young girl. He didn't speak to her kindly. He spoke to her heart. Now, he probably did speak kindly to her, but that's not what the language is. He spoke to her heart. And I'm sure him being a prince of the land, he had something to give her, didn't he? He had something to offer her. He had wealth. He had position. He had notoriety. Do you think this young girl wasn't infatuated by him? I bet he was. I bet she was. And who do you think this young girl represents? It speaks of me, my woman, my soul. And she's infatuated by the prince of the land. And who might that be? My natural man, Adam, and me. See? And Shechem spoke to his father, Hamor, saying, get me this damsel to wife. And see, the son of Adam is the same as Adam. Hamor is the he ass, the Adam man. And the son of the ass would still be an ass, wouldn't he? Okay? He said, get me this young girl to wife. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his livestock in the field, and Jacob was silent until they'd come. Why do you think that this man was silent? Why was he silent? Why do you think he was silent? Why was Jacob silent? He was afraid. Fear. He was afraid to stand. Remember what I read you a while ago of not being afraid to speak, not afraid to say what you got to say? You got to say what God puts in your heart to say. Jacob was afraid. He's not come to full maturity yet, has he? He's an old man, but he still hasn't come to maturity in the spirit. He's afraid to speak. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Jacob to speak with him. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard. And the men were grieved, and they were very angry because he had brought disgrace. And it says, wrought folly in Israel. No, he brought disgrace to Jacob. Israel, whose name is that? That was Jacob's next name. How can you disgrace a country? You don't disgrace a country. You disgrace a person, don't you? And Jacob was concerned. Remember, it says we are supposed to be people of no reputation. Hello? If I have a reputation to defend, I'll be offended when somebody does something like that, won't I? He was offended at what went on. And he was being controlled by fear. Okay? And it says, in lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. Now, if a man's daughter was running around and doing something she shouldn't do with somebody she shouldn't have been doing it with, how could that bring disgrace to a whole country? Okay? It can't. Only to the family who were concerned about what everybody else thought, rather than worrying about what the father says. And Hamor, the natural man, says, communed with them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem clings to your daughter. And where it says, I pray you, should say, now give her to him for wife. And you make marriage with us, and give your daughters to us, and take our daughters to you. It's, in other words, let's become a mixture. And didn't God tell us to marry our own kind, stay with your own kind? He's not talking about races, he's talking about believers versus non-believers. It has nothing to do with race, it has everything to do with faith. If you're men and women of faith, that's where we should be, with men and women of faith, not with someone of the other side. And Shechem said, verse 10, and you shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. dwell and trade therein and get you the possessions therein. And Shechem said to her father, to her father and to her brethren, let me find what? Not grace, but let me find favor in your eyes, and what you shall say to me I will give. He says, all I got to do is accept me, and I'll give you anything you want. Just let me have the young girl. He said, ask me ever so much dowry and gift, and I will give what you say to me. But give me the young girl to wife. And the sons of Jacob responded to Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully. We got a problem already, haven't we? Who was supposed to be making the decisions of the family? Father. Should have been Jacob speaking. Jacob was a coward again. And Jacob was a conniver, and his sons wrestled and took the authority right away from father, didn't they? Now, what do you think happens to, what do you think he's trying to put that in relationship to our lives? What is he showing us in the manner of those two sons? But look what they did. When we do, our natural man tries to run everything going on, we are going to fight for preeminence. We're going to make decisions. We're going to wrestle to get control, are we not? Until the old man goes down and gets buried, he's going to keep trying to claw and reach up for the preeminence. They were speaking for father. See, I can't speak for father. He can speak through me. I don't give any wild assumptions of what God's going to do today or tomorrow or any other day, because he knows what he's going to do, and when he wants me to say it, I'll say it. But he didn't tell me to go out and prophesy anything to anyone. Okay? 99 times out of 100, anybody prophesies, it's out of their own mind. They're prophesying. Most of the time it is, because someone, I was in a church where they said, hey, go ahead and prophesy whatever you want to. Go out and prophesy to the trees just to practice so you can be bold in your speaking, and God will give you whatever you ask for. You believe that? I don't believe it for a minute. I don't believe it for 1 minute. But now I have heard true prophecies, and I've heard a lot of false prophecies. I've heard people come up to me that never knew me from nobody and spoke things in my life that nobody could have known except God told them. That way I know. But see, it wasn't some new thing that God was putting into my life, was it? It was a confirmation that what God had already spoke to me was also what this person said. So it's not something new you hear from someone speaking in your life. It should be something that God has already spoken in your life and come as a confirmation from someplace else. Somebody that don't know anything about you. That's the best way to be pretty sure. And they did it deceitfully because they had did what? They had defiled Dinah, their sister. They said that they had defiled Dinah, their sister. Would that be justification? It's justification. Can I justify what I do just because someone did something to me? If I think I can respond or retaliate or get revenge to someone because they done me wrong, then I'm no better than the person that did me wrong. We have to be like the perfect example. When the Lamb was hanging on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. He went as a mute lamb. He never responded. He never spoke. See? He never reviled when he could have reviled. He was innocent, but he didn't speak up. And that's what it is. Now, in the New Testament, it says this very well, that whenever you suffer for wrongdoing, you have no thank in that. But if you suffer for doing good and you remain silent and don't resist it, this is well-pleasing unto God. See? So we're going to be mistreated, so you have to just realize that and go on. Verse 14, they go on and say this, and they said to them, we cannot do this thing to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, because that is a disgrace to us. Now, why would it be a disgrace to them if her sister married somebody who was uncircumcised? I mean, look at the hypocrisy in the statement, what I'm saying. They were being deceitful with someone who was trying to be straight up with them. True? They were being deceitful, but it's wrong for our daughter, our sister, to marry one of your kind. See, and that's what religion does. That's why there's 33,000 denominations, because everybody says, this one's okay to do because we like to do it, but you can't do that because we don't agree with it. It's good and evil. They're eating from the wrong tree. They're taken from the knowledge of good and evil. And this is the hypocrisy in the whole thing, and he's showing it. What he's trying to say this is, the hypocrisy in our own lives, we say, this is good and this is bad, that's hypocrisy. We can say, well, I don't believe this, and you can say, well, I believe that. Well, maybe you do believe it, but is it true? See, what I believe makes no bearing on anything if it's not the truth. Truth is painful sometimes. Truth will make you look at yourself and say, I was wrong. And see, if the truth is truly within you, you can do that. You can say, I was wrong, I made a mistake, I made a misjudgment, but that's okay. God doesn't condemn me, and I'm not going to condemn me either. I'm going to walk this thing out. I learned from this. I will never do that again. They were making doctrines. And our minds are really good about making doctrines. That's why there's 33,000 plus denominations in the world. Everybody's mind does what's right in their own eyes. They make their own doctrines. Don't make any doctrines. Just be who you be. Be a son of God. You don't have to have a badge on. You don't have to have a kingdom cap on. You don't have to have all these identifying marks. Just be who you've been called to be. Everything has to go. In the third day, they lightened their ship with their own hands. They cast out everything off the ship, didn't they? Okay? And he said, but only on this condition will we consent to you. If you will be as we be, or become like us, it should say, that every male of you be circumcised. See, again, what are they trying to do? Make you be like me. Make you be a sheep and get in line and walk with everybody else. They're trying to take away your identity. God made each one of us as unique as our fingerprints. No two people have the same. So why should I get in line behind someone else and walk like they walk? See, wrong. In this book it says, to mark them who follow Christ and follow them. It didn't say comb your hair the same way, wear the same clothes, speak the same kind of words they speak. You have to speak from what God has placed within you. The way I express myself is not like anyone else in the world. I express myself as God has given me. I don't try to mimic anybody, and I don't want anybody mimicking me. You be the unique creature that God has created you to be, and everything will be fine, because he's in control of it anyway. And he said, then we will give our daughters to you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. Again, there was deception. Everything they were saying was in deception. They had no plans for this. But if you will not hearken, Shammah, hear us intelligently with the intent to respond, to be circumcised, then we will take our daughter and we will be gone. And their words pleased the eyes, it says in the Hebrew, of Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. It pleased their eyes. Does it tell you where they're at? Only what they saw was important. It pleased their eyes, the things that they said. Okay. Huh? Well, they were trying to manipulate and control them. Okay. And the young man deferred not to do the thing. Here's Shechem, the man who's supposedly a heathen. He makes a deal with the church world. That's what we're doing here. The natural man says, okay, I'll do what you tell me. I'll shed my blood. Isn't that what he did? He shed his blood. It said he didn't procrastinate to do the thing, what the Hebrew says. He did not procrastinate to do this thing. He went ahead and was circumcised. Circumcision was an Old Testament type of baptism. That's all it was. It was like the crucifixion. You know, when you died on the cross with him, you were buried with him, and you were resurrected with him. It was a type of crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection. The shed of the blood. It was a covenant. So all this going on, he's making the covenant, and yet these, quote, goody two-shoes, which represent the religious world, were in deception the whole time. And see, they justified being in deception because he did something that violated what they thought was right. Wrong. That doesn't give you justification to deceive anyone. Because he had delight in Jacob's daughter, and he was more honorable than all the house of his father. And I'd almost say he was more honorable than the sons of Jacob too, wouldn't you? Because he wasn't working deception. He was being straight with them. And he was in love. He was doing whatever it took. And Hamor and Shechem, his son, came into the gate of the city and spoke with the men of their city, saying, these men are at peace with us, or they're friendly with us. Therefore, let them dwell in the land and trade therein for the land. Behold, it is large enough for their presence. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only in this will the men consent to us to dwell with us, to be one people, if every male among us be circumcised as they are? Shall not their livestock and their possessions and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us. And to Hamor and to Shechem his son hearkened, all that went out of the gate of the city. And every male was circumcised, all that went out of the gate of the city. And it came to pass on the third day. Boys, here's where it comes down. In the third day, there's a judgment, isn't there? In the third day, they were all slain, weren't they? They were sore. They became sore. You know what? In the third day, there's a lot of people going to get sore. When I come to this understanding of the third realm of God, my old man's going to be awful sore. He's not going to like that blood. He's not going to like that cutting, is he? Because his emotions are all involved in that. That the sons of, when they were all sore, that the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, which represents the hearing and the attached, you know, joined together, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came upon the city, what? Or without opposition, it says. These men were all crippled up by surgery. What kind of soldiers were they? Do you think God told them to be circumcised? That was religion telling them to be circumcised. If you be like us, you'll make it. If you talk like us and walk like us, you'll make it. We'll protect you. Yeah, right. And they slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword. You know what the word edge means? Gash in the face? A mouth? It can mean mouth or sword. Kind of amazing. How'd they slay them? By their words. I mean, today, how are they slaying people? Not with a sword, but with their tongue. See? That gash in the mouth, gash in the face. But by the mouth of with the sword. And took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went. Dinah being justice, they took justice out of the house. And the sons came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. Now, they got the same thing going on here. The same thing that's going on, they're justifying. True? Dinah never left the house, and Dinah never made a complaint. Did she say she didn't want to be there? Did they ever say, let's go get our sister? They let her stay there. They were more interested in rituals and doctrines than they were someone's life. Okay? And they took their sheep and their oxen, their asses, and that which was in the city, and that which was in the field. And all their wealth and all their children and their wives took they captive and spoiled even all that was in the house. Now, one man made a decision to have a relationship with a woman, and look at all the hell broke loose on the world, on his whole country. But you know what I see that in? I see Adam and Eve. Eve decided to do something, and Adam come in and said, well, I'm going to have to straighten it up. One person done something, and it came upon all. Just imagine. There's something to think about. All paid the price. Now notice that they spoiled the house. They took everyone. They took their wives captive. Now, here's the wrong thing. When they were coming through the land to take the land, God gave them a pattern of how you take the land. When you go take the land, you kill everything that walks, crawls, or flies, man or beast. Don't partake of any of it. What do they do here? See? The greed, the love of money is the root of all evil. They could not leave this stuff go. You think they didn't have enough wives already? Well, hey, let's pick up three or four more of them. That sounds like a man that's unstable in all of his ways to me. And Jacob says to Simeon and Levi, you have disturbed me to make me to what? Not stink, but to be morally offensive among the inhabitants of the land. Morally offensive is what the language says. Now, why would he say, I am morally offensive to the people, the Canaanites and the Pezrites? They were heathens to him. He's still thinking about his own personal identity, his pride of life, respect of other people. You know, he's worried about that. If we're worried what somebody thinks about us, do you think we could ever become mature sons of God? It's an impossible. He's on the journey, but he's not there yet. Even though he's raised all these sons, he's become an old man, and he's surely got grandchildren by now. But see, what he's trying to tell you is, just because we have raised our children doesn't mean we have arrived. We've got children raised, grandchildren raised, but we still got to raise ourselves. We still got to grow up ourselves, don't we? And it's not a process that's going to happen. Go to church, get dunked in the water, say, I'm sorry, and it's all over with. That didn't change anything except the condition of your skin because you got dunked in the water. The only thing that changes your thinking is the Word of God. You've got to have this understanding of God. And isn't it written in the New Testament that says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus? What mind was in Christ Jesus? The mind of the Father. Say, let this mind be in you. Well, most people haven't understood yet the mind isn't there. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your... If this thing's got to be renewed. It can't be renewed if it hadn't have been there once before, could it? See, we've had this mind before, but we forgot. We've got to remember who we really are. And it's not just name and claim, oh, I'm a son of God. No. If you're a son of God, then you'll never have to worry about these things. Thou shalt not this or thou shalt not that. You won't have to worry about hurting somebody, lying to somebody, deceiving somebody, because it's impossible. It says, well, if you're born of God, you cannot sin because his seed remains in you. Right? Put it all together and find out, if I really am walking what I'm talking, it's not about looking good to the public like Jacob is here. It's about saying what God said to do, doing what God says to say and do. That's all. Jesus was the perfect example, and by his own words, he said, I never do anything except what God does, my Father does, and what my Father says. Now see, there's someone walking and talking. There's the perfect example. And everybody else thinks, if I go to church on Sunday mornings and Wednesdays, and I don't let anybody see me do the things I do, well then I'm okay, see? Well, how about God? See that sign over on the wall? Can y'all read it? Character is who you are when no one is watching but God. See, I don't act like I act because somebody's watching me. I'm acting like the way I act because God is in me. Do you hear that? That's how you respond to everything. I don't care whether I'm going down the road doing something I'm not supposed to do or anywhere else. If God's watching, if anything God's concerned with, I ain't going to do it. Simply because it's wrong. Not because I might get caught. I'm not doing it when there's nobody around because I might get by with it. I'm just doing what I can do because it's right. Now, Jacob and Simeon again said that Jacob said they troubled him or disturbed him and caused him to be morally offensive to the Canaanites and the Perizzites. That's the rebellion and terror on the first one on the Canaanites and the independent or separated spirit in the Perizzites. He said, and I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. Do you think Jacob is walking by faith at this point? He's still in fear. Fear is the exact opposite of faith. Faith is, whatever God said, I believe it. I don't care what my eyes see. Then to say the righteous shall walk by, we walk by faith, not by sight, right? Okay, Jacob's still walking by sight. If I'm walking in a situation and that situation tears me all up, am I walking by faith? Like we talked this morning, we're learning to tell our minds to shut up. When they start telling, oh my God, you're in trouble, all this terrible thing going to happen. So what? Tell me one person on the face of the earth that does not have problems. Everyone has problems, don't they? So just tell your mind to shut up. I am not in control. I didn't put this thing together. I didn't start it. I'm not going to finish it. What I have to learn to do is adapt and change with everything God gives me. Whatever God puts in my path, I've got an obstacle. I've got to learn to deal with that obstacle. And by dealing with that obstacle, it's training me how to live my life. Whatever's put before me in the land, I've got to learn to adapt to it. And that's not about my natural man. I'm talking about my spiritual man. If I can adapt in the natural, it's because my spiritual man is giving me information. It's feeding me information inside how to deal with these things. So many times things happen in my life, situations come up, and I don't have an answer. I really don't have an answer, and all of a sudden a thought just pops into my head. And I don't think I'm some kind of brilliant person that I've got everything figured out. I just got to deal with the situation. And sometimes because of lack of faith in my life, I've had to repeat some of these things over and over and over for years. But when I come to peace in the thing and said, you know, this thing's whipping me and ain't nothing I can do about it because I have struggled. Hear what I said? I struggled. And as soon as I decided to go sit down and rest and said, you know, it's out of my control, bingo, this thought come in my head and there was the solution to the problem. It was there all along, but I didn't know how to tap into it because I was walking in fear and not in faith. If I walk by faith and not by sight, what is held back from you? Nothing. That's the beautiful thing. Nothing. You don't see anything but the faith of God, so there's nothing to mess up that communication between you and the Spirit of God. He's right here. He's not up in the sky somewhere. We're not waiting for him to come back. He's in us. So that communication can be any time, see? We see him face to face because his face is my face. His face is your face. His identity is your identity. That's how I know who it is, because it's him. While maintaining right in the midst of the war, right in the midst of the storm, we maintain our peace. If you can't maintain peace, it means there's something still in there, some doubts or fears that's still in our lives. And that's not any condemnation or guilt. That's why Jacob is being shown as the great father of the country. But yet, look at the problems he's having. Oh, great Jacob, and all he is he's in turmoil constantly. See? Encouragement's what this is. This is not condemnation. Anyway, he's all tore up, and he's concerned about who? Look what he says. I want you to look at the number he says in this verse. In verse 30, he says, you have troubled who? Who did he trouble? Me. To make me stink. And then on down it says, and I, being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. There were seven times he talked of himself in that one verse. He was not concerned about anybody else. Who was he concerned with? That means his mind is still wholly into humanity. He's concerned with himself. I, me, my, or mine. It wasn't the we or us, was it? There's no maturity here yet. He hasn't come to the fullness yet. So in the next verse, the sons again jump in and do their talking. And they said, should he deal with our sister as with a harlot? Do you think that's the heart of God right there speaking through the sons? See, there's revenge in their heart. There's justification in their heart for being evil and wicked to somebody. Yep. Absolutely, justifying. They're justifying what they did. We got a right to kill them because what they did. Well, really? Well, so they were saying that he treated her sister like a harlot. Does anything here say that he treated her like a harlot? Shechem said he loved the woman, would pay any dowry they asked for. So they lied and was deceptive to justify what they wanted to do to make everybody walk like they were religious. She put herself there. And she didn't say she wanted out, did she? Never in this book does it ever say she wanted out. That's the amazing thing. She never said she wanted out. That was her choice. See, that was the soul running out and getting involved with something she shouldn't have been involved with. And you know what? We've all been guilty of being Dinah. We've all been there. But you got to understand, you've got to find out who you're... But you have to realize, you have to find out who your husband really is. See, she was looking for her husband in all the wrong places. She was looking externally for her husband instead of looking internally for her husband. When you find the husband internally, you'll never have to worry about being unfaithful again. Because anybody who's married without the knowledge of God in their life and knowledge of who their real husband is, when you're internally faithful to your husband, you'll be externally faithful to anyone else you're with. Anything. So you'll never have to worry about divorces and all that stuff because it won't even exist. Once you become hooked up with your husband inside, you'll be faithful to anybody, everybody, just for that very reason. Any comments?